Are you brave? Now, I didn't ask, do you feel brave? I think a lot of us have not felt brave for a while this last year, but are you brave? Are you a person who has courage? Because it just seems to me that one thing that we just need to really navigate this life well is courage. And again, courage is not about how you feel. It's what you do when you don't feel brave. Now, you got out of bed this morning, good start, okay? Some of you, that's what I got today. You know, I get it. But here's the thing that we believe as Christians. Bravery is an outgrowth of faith. That when our faith is real, when it's strong, when it's rooted not in a series of beliefs as much as a love relationship with Jesus Christ, that makes us brave. That worship we just did right now, did anybody else just need that? I mean, I'm backstage getting ready to do this and just, God, you are good. You know what we're doing when we do that? We're singing courage to our soul. Not that I'm strong, I can handle it, I got this under control. Our song is, God, you are good. And here's the really good news. God is with us. And here's the other good word. God is working on you. In fact, he is probably more committed to your growth, to your maturity, to you becoming everything you were created to be in time and in eternity than you are. And that's a big part. That is really at the heart of what this series of renewal is about. It's about the God who is working to make you more complete, more mature, more amazing than you would settle for. Now here's the thing about the work of God is that sometimes that can be difficult to trust. Because sometimes God's work actually can feel counterproductive. It's anybody, right, who did a remodeling project. What's the first step in remodeling something? It's tearing down. It's tearing out. And whenever you do that, you think, oh, this will be easy. We'll just get this out. And then you get it out. Oh, there's a hole there. Why is there a hole there? There shouldn't be a hole there. I don't even know what that's for. And then you get something else. And it just takes longer than you expect. It costs more. And at some point, you just want to be done with it. But you got to finish the process. Because here's the deal you need to understand about growth, about learning, about maturing, about changing, about becoming, is that it is a process that is at once a great adventure and it's fun. And when you start experiencing the fruit of it, it's just beautiful. But it also is something that's scary. It takes courage. And sometimes growth is painful. And because this is the deal. Growth is about a tearing down so something else can be built up. And maybe the thing that was being torn down for you is something I leaned on this, I counted on there. It just seems so solid. And now God seems to be tearing that down. But here's what God does. He doesn't just do it for fun or random. He takes it down and he's actually being careful in his plan. And he takes the bricks that was that wall and he sets them aside and he uses the very same things to rebuild something that's more stable so that not only you are able to lean on it and count on it, but others are able to lean on you while you're leaning on it. And so God is at work, and that's what's so cool about this thing of renewal. So again, our church purpose, wherever we are on our journey, and maybe you're at a point where you don't feel very brave, but you're doing stuff, you're taking steps. Courage, again, is not how we feel. It's about what we do when we don't feel brave. And so maybe that's where you are at in your journey. It says we will take steps. And again, this is about journey. This is about process. This is about doing the next right thing, the thing that's before you. One of the greatest follies in the world is saying, how am I ever going to get there? Well, maybe today your courage is like, I'm going there, but I'm going to just go here. And I'm going to celebrate the progress that I'm making. And that's the courage. So it's about taking steps, what to know and become like Jesus. Again, the know, which we really talked about this last week, if you're doing the renewal series with us and studying, is about that love relationship with Jesus that informs all the other things. That because I see through the lens of Jesus, the experience of Jesus, it informs how I should think, feel, and act in my relationships, how I think about money, how I think about my work, how I think about everything. He changes our world. And that's what know is about. And this week we talked about that process, to know and then become like Jesus. That the real goal is for me to become the best version of myself, for me to become truly me, for me to discover what I actually truly want, it's when we become like Jesus. And we've introduced this thing called the journey tool. And we've been saying we've got these two tracks that keep the train of transformation on the track. That is the power of God and the Holy Spirit who has been gifted to you. You didn't earn the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, ask and I will send you the Spirit. I'll ask the Father and he'll send the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is your love relationship with God. And then community, people in your life who are walking with you. That's just essential for growth. And this looks like thirst, God stirring up things. It can look like disappointment. It can look like failure. It can look like an unfulfilling success. I got what I thought I wanted. And now it can look like thirst can come in the form of something that I thought was stable being torn down. Something that I thought was built on the rock turns out it was built on sand. And we've experienced a lot of that, right? So thirst then causes us to start asking questions. And it takes courage to ask questions. It takes courage to ask other people questions. It takes courage to ask God questions. It takes courage to ask about what's going on inside of you. It takes courage to have really healthy relationships where you invite people to ask you questions. And so the sting of search then brings us to know. And know is when God says, you know what? This is the thing I'm doing in your life. This is the thing I'd like you to address. This is the thinking I'd like you to change. This is the healing I'd like you to step into. This is the recovery I want you to embrace. This is the thing that I want you to show. Out of my love relationship with you, I want to show you how we can extend that love and that relationship into another part of your life. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about this thing of experience. And experience is when we start taking what we know and actually making a plan, actually implementing into our life. And that looks like changing how we spend our time. That looks like maybe saying, not only what do I need to add to my life, but maybe what do I need to stop in my life? This is the place where I get to what the Bible calls obedience. Because, listen, once we come to know, and we do what we did in terms of studying this week in our renewal series, we clarify the know. We say, okay, this is the thing I think God wants me to do. This is the thing he wants me to address. This is the work he's doing in me. Once we know that, I mean, God is very patient. He gives us time. But eventually, once we know that, and we do it, well, that's called obedience. And obedience, here's the thing about obedience. Obedience tends to start hard and give life, but to not do it, to take another path other than the one that God chose us, that's disobedience. And disobedience tends to start easy and actually can feel like a relief. I'm not going to think about it, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to push it away. But disobedience starts easy, but it gets hard. That's why Jesus said there's two roads. Wide one, very popular, a lot of people on it, leads to death. But there's this other road. Few find it. Narrow, can be steep, but man, it leads to life. It leads to you living the life you want to. And so this thing of experience is super important. So here's just the deal. Word of warning here, okay? Every now and again, we need to look at some of the warnings in Scripture. You're at a crucial stage. If you know the thing that God wants you to do, and you know it might require some tearing down so he will build up, you know the thing that he's calling you to do, and you recognize this is going to cost me some pain. It's going to require me to look at some honesty. It maybe is going to cause me to look at some of the ugly that's inside of me, some of the things that I've been cherishing that I shouldn't, some attitudes that I've given myself permission to do, some behaviors that actually are embarrassing and my pride doesn't want me to admit it. Maybe some confession and maybe some reconciliation. When you know the no you're supposed to do, and you don't do it, disobedience, listen, this is the danger. You can get stuck in no. In fact, this kind of process can actually put you in a spiritual crisis. Because here's the deal. If God has clarified a no through the love relationship he has with you, this is the thing you're supposed to do. This is the point of obedience. And you're just kind of, you know what? And you're not specifically saying, no, God, I won't do that. But what you're doing is you're denying it. Anybody good denying it? No problem. I'm fine. You're fine. I'm fine. Or we're blaming someone else. Well, when they do, I'll do. Or I'm better than those. Or we compare. Hey, you know, God, I know this would be a great thing for me to do, but look, I'm doing more than everybody else. And look at this other part of my life. It's just a shining example. And all these people say I'm awesome. You know, I must be awesome. Or you know what we're really good at is we distract ourselves. Sometimes I call it medicating ourselves. We watch something, we buy something, we just keep busy. Maybe we get really busy doing another good thing because we don't want to do the best thing that God is showing us that we're supposed to do. So whatever we do to keep no from becoming experience, listen, this is a bit of a dangerous thing because it can knock you back into pain, okay? There is pain that's required to make no experience. That's just the way it is. Change can hurt sometimes. It costs you something. But it is never greater than the pain of staying in a state of disobedience and brokenness. And you know, one of the common things folks do is they get cynical about change. They make fun of it. They tell jokes about it. They just put it down. And they start trashing things that are sacred. And what you're doing is you're keeping God's love relationship at a distance. Because eventually, this becomes the thing God wants to talk to you about. And if you just keep saying, I'm not listening, I'm not going to listen, I'm going to joke, I'm going to ignore, I'm going to deny, well, then God starts feeling distance. See, that's why disobedience should scare you, is that it distances you from the love relationship that makes you brave. That is the source of your faith that causes you to be a person of courage. Let's take a look at a scripture that is so powerful and so important. This is one of the ones that I'm challenging you to memorize as part of renewal. And by the way, the whole memorizing thing, we said, I hadn't started that. Maybe you're going to take one of these and you're going to hide it in your heart. And maybe for you, this is the one that, okay, this is the one I just need to meditate on. I need to have it readily in my mind. I need to start shaping my thinking so it's on my tongue, it's in my mouth, and I think deeply about it. Maybe it's another one, but maybe it's this one. He says, therefore, my beloved. Now, understand this is Paul talking to people he loves. You want some people in your life who love you, who tell the truth. I mean, if you have the kind of people who don't love you, they just say terrible things, obviously you don't want that. But if you have people who just tell you all the time the things you want to hear, okay, that will shield you and inoculate you from God. You need some truth tellers in your life. You need some people, not just people, you know, that are cruel about it. It's like the guy went to the hospital and the doctor said, you're overweight. And he said, I want a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too. You don't want that kind of person, okay? That's the truth teller you don't want, okay? But what you're looking for, okay, is a person who loves you and will speak the truth in love. So Paul says, my beloved, even as you have always, obeyed. That is to say, you've aligned your heart with the heart of God. You've aligned your behavior with the action of God. You see something you're supposed to do. It's going to cost you. People may make fun of you. And by the way, don't expect people in your life to cheer when you start making changes. Some will, the ones who really love you and love God will. But other people will be intimidated by your change, and they will say things like, oh, who do you think you are? You think you're better than everybody else? Oh, you don't do that anymore. And they will shame you for doing the right thing. Okay, just expect some of that. He says, even as you always obey, it says, now, not only in my presence, but look at this, much more in my absence. And so this is another level of obedience. I mean, we drive the speed limit because the police will pull us over, right? That's the kind of, we're being watched, so we're going to do the right thing. The kind of obedience he's calling them to now is the kind of change that is, I am now changed, so I don't need a cop, I don't need a rule, I don't need a law, because I'm being changed from the inside to be a good person from whom good things naturally flow. That's what I want to be. And so this is the kind of obedience that you do the right thing because it's the right thing, and I'm becoming the right kind of person, and I just want to do the right thing. And so he says much more when my absence, hey, listen, I want you to make obedience a big thing. And look at the wording here, because it's so stunningly important that you understand what's going on. Because what we're going to see is he's going to call us to a partnership with the Holy Spirit, where we take our work, our obedience, our submission, and we partner with the work that God is doing in our life. And that's when change happens, all through a loving relationship. Look what he says. He says, work for your... does he say work for? Did you see he doesn't say work for? He says, work out, okay? Work out your own salvation with fear and tremble. So let's read it again. Work for your neighbor's salvation. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that. I mean, some of you are really good at helping other people identify the changes they need to make. Okay, it's like your Holy Spirit Junior, right? You know, Holy Spirit, I got this one. I'll tell them what they need to know. Okay, and that's not what we're talking about. This is about you. And so if you're thinking, you know who really needs to hear this message? Totally going to forward it to him. Don't do that, okay? All right, don't do that. All right, this is work out your own salvation. Work out. So what does it mean to work out your own salvation? What it means is, it means push the message, push the reality, push the power of salvation into every nook and cranny of your life, okay? Because here's the truth about my life, okay? Part of my life is redeemed and saved. Part of it's not.
There's some of it that has been touched by Jesus, changed by Jesus, and it is awesome, cool, strong stuff, and I celebrate the work God's done in my life. There are other parts of it that just need to get under the blood, if you know what I mean. They need to be redeemed. I need to invite Jesus. So it's the person who comes to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and all of a sudden, they take a look and they say, wow, how I think about my money is very worldly. I'm selfish, I'm greedy, I'm not generous, I worry about it, I'm full of anxiety. What would it look like to push the gospel into that part of my life? You know what? I've got these friendships, and these friendships are, and whenever I'm with church, I'm church, but with these other people, I'm not. And man, and I'm not talking about getting all churchy and religious with people, but I'm saying you take a look and say, what would it look like to push the gospel, to push the implication of the gospel in that relationship? Maybe you're in a dating relationship. And Jesus really has been the center of your life, but you're with someone who doesn't walk with Jesus and you're trying to figure that out. And what would it look like for the gospel to go there? What would it look like to go into your parenting or your marriage? You're going to go to work tomorrow. Maybe every day you crawl into work, you got a bad attitude, you're just feeling bad, you don't want to be there, all these kinds of things. What would it look like for the gospel to be pushed into that? For you to begin to start seeing the people you work with as people God loves. For you to recognize that any work, whether it be preaching or any other thing that you do, is God's work. And if you let that be pushed into the gospel, you are working out your salvation. And that's this whole journey process. This is God saying, I'm stirring something up new in your life because I want your marriage to be gospel-centered. I want your finances to be redeemed by the gospel. I want your thinking, what if it's something a little closer to home? What if it's childhood pain? What if there's a story from your past and your child? You said, what would it look like for the gospel to go in there? And I would see the forgiveness and then forgiveness there and healing there. And then all of a sudden, there's some real things. And maybe some of the things that are either driving me or crippling me, I would let the gospel come into that. That's what it means to work out your salvation. Work out your own salvation. Work on it. Make it the whole part of your life. See, Jesus, just understand, Jesus didn't come just to save your life. He came to give you a life, but more than any of that, he came to be your life. And he wants to touch and redeem every part of your life. And so we're working out our salvation. Look at this, with fear and trembling. Wow, that's pretty intense. This is Paul, beloved, fear and trembling. What's the fear and trembling? Well, the fear and trembling is something that we should actually fear because if it comes in our life, it brings great pain. You say, what's that? Disobedience. I mean, disobedience is just saying, God, I know you say this is the right way, but I'm going to do this way. I know you say that this will be fulfilling and this will bring me life and health and peace, but this is too hard. I'm going to do this way. And whenever you put your life out of phase, God says, okay. And then life comes, it beats the tar out of you. That's why it's such a dangerous thing to neglect your faith or to put it on the shelf or even not, you know, if you got doubts about your faith, not to scroll into that. Because if your faith is not strong, well, then disobedience comes in. And when disobedience comes in, man, life just gets hard. Life gets messy. Life gets confusing. Let me just ask you a couple things. When you don't obey Christ in terms of relationships, do they get better or worse? Okay? When you don't obey him on things like, you know, forgiveness and patience and kindness, you know, they get better or they get worse. When you do things Christ's way, I mean, when you do things his way, man, this is the thing that leads to life and health and peace. Now, again, doing things God's way tends to start hard, but leads to life. This is the Jesus principle. Doing things the world way, man, there will be people cheering you. There will be people who do the same kind of inappropriate behaviors, thinking, acting, relating to you do that will celebrate it. They'll cheer. They'll send you little memes and YouTubes how we can just make fun of things. And man, it'll just feel so good to disobey. But then it leads to death. At the end of the day, when they're gone and you're alone and the consequences, it's this principle that is all over the Bible. And this is where fear and trembling comes in. You reap what you sow. It doesn't matter if you want that to be a principle. It doesn't matter if you feel bad about that. It doesn't matter if you had a painful background or you feel like you got a good excuse. If you reap the things of God, if you reap obedience, it produces a harvest. But if you reap disobedience, man, it just leads you to a long place. Now, this would get overwhelming if we said, okay, I guess what I need to do is suck it up, buttercup. I need to try harder. Now, if you've been doing the renewal series, you might have come across a statement that we have woven in there throughout this entire series. It says, instead of trying harder, what if you tried softer? That is to say, what if you partnered with the Holy Spirit and let Him bring the things forward? What if you tried different? What if you tried smarter? What if you tried together? See, there are different ways to try. And so it's not about our effort. It's about the relationship. Because look what he says next. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's something for you to do. For, look at this, it is God who works in you. He says, the fact that God is working with you, the fact that God is working in you, tells you that the first thing you want to do when you're getting ready to make a change, particularly if it's a big change or one that's close to the heart or one that's going to be some painful stuff, is you want to get really close to God. You want to remind yourself all the time that He is good, good, oh yeah, He is good, good, He is with me. And even though there are times it feels like His tearing down is cruel and it's hard, I trust that He's working for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Just remind myself, that's why we memorize Scripture. So it sinks in our heart. So that because God is working on this, what is He doing? He's working to will and to work His good pleasure. See, basically what God is trying to do, He's trying to do the things that would make Him full of joy. And here's the thing about that. You say, well, what about the things that make me joy? What you really want is what God wants. At the end of the day, to live in God's pleasure is His pleasure is to make you something significant, is to make you something good, is to bring life and health and peace to you. And so He is working for His will. And ultimately what we're going to find this out in time and eternity. I wish I had time to chase this while I don't. But what we actually want is what God wants. So when we say, not my will, your will be done, we're actually saying, align my heart to recognize that your will is actually what I want. So change in me just the perception, the understanding. The world lies to me about what would make me happy. And now I just want to understand what life and health is, peace is. And so God, who is working in you both to will and to work His good pleasure. That's why when we're making changes out of a love relationship with Jesus Christ, we can take a step back and say, okay, this is the thing that God has shown me has to fix in my life. And it's going to take courage to be honest about this, because this part of it is pretty ugly. I wish this wasn't true about me, but it is. This is a hard thing. But this is a good thing. And this is something God's doing. And this is something going to redeem in me. And these are the people He wants me to invite in my life. This is how He wants me to change my schedule. This is how He wants me to make a plan and then integrate the plan into my life. These are the things I got to start. These are the things I got to stop. These are some people maybe I let get a little distant because they're toxic. And I don't really like who I become when I'm with Him. These are people who I need to start welcoming into my life. This is the group I need to join. This is the Right Now Media thing I need to do. This is the podcast I need to listen to. This is the greater consistency I need to be in church. This is how I need to integrate worship into my life. And when you take time to listen to your soul, what it needs, God shows you, and you just start brainstorming a plan, then all of a sudden, you know, it's amazing then even how things like despair and anxiety and even depression can start to drift away because you're being proactive. You're moving towards positive. But if you just park in the disobedience, man, it can be absolutely crippling, and you should fear it. You should fear and tremble about disobedience because you were created for so much more than that. You say, all right, so what you're saying is if I'm disobedient, God's going to give up on me? Absolutely not. But He's going to let disobedience have its harvest. So listen, you reach the pain that you point, you understand that the pain of change is not never, never worse than the pain of disobedience. The price of pain and change and healing and renewal and recovery, whatever it is that God's saying in your life right now, that the price of that is never higher than what we reap when we do things our way or we just park. It takes courage. It takes bravery born out of a love relationship. And that's what renewal is all about. Now, I got a video for you this weekend. And this is actually a video we were going to share a while back. It's just from one of the just best people in our church. Her name's Lori Galata. And Lori and Rob Galata have just been champions in our church for, golly, 15, 16, 17, 18 years, something like that. Lori's been on our church staff. Rob's been an overseer. But these are two people who are passionate about prayer. And a while back, you may remember that we did a church-wide prayer emphasis. One of the big things we emphasized this last year is, I don't know what to do, but the one thing I do know to do is pray. And we challenge people to spend 40 days in prayer. And what I want you to hear from Lori is just listen for several things. Listen to the things that God showed her. This is the thing I want you to pray about. That's no. And then this is the thing, how I want you to do it. This is experience. And then I want you to listen to how she talks about her relationship with God, and what she discovered about herself and God, and the love relationship, the partnership with God that she discovered as she dove into 40 days of prayer. Let's go ahead and just listen to this incredible story from this incredible person.
Hi, my name is Lori Galata, and I've been coming to Jacob's Well since 2003. But I was really excited to engage with 40 Days of Prayer. I love prayer, I love prayer guides, and I love the sense of knowing that others are praying the same things, the same sort of things that I am, that we're praying together. One thing I really loved about it was being asked to pray for the lost every day for 40 days in a row. Because there are people I have been praying for, but not every day. I had emailed Pastor Paul with some answers to prayer that I saw happen due to 40 days in prayer. I had experienced a broken relationship with someone who I had previously been close to, and I had done what I could do to restore, but it was broken. And that increasingly burdened my heart. And so 40 days of prayer, that was my one prayer request. And every week I would ask God, is there a different personal request I'm to pray for? And he just said, keep praying for that. Reconciliation with this person. The other answer was one of the people that I've been praying for to come to the Lord, actually during 40 days, found out she came to the Lord. She was a friend of my daughter's, who my daughter was witnessing to and sharing Christ with. And so I started praying for her and learned that she took that step to Christ. The other answer, as far as the broken relationship, that nothing happened during the 40 days. But because of the habit of praying for that, I continued to lift it up more and seek God more for that. And Christmas Day, got a call from that person and her husband, actually. And as we were talking, she started expressing love and the bridge started to be built. And then I got a text from her and then I wrote, so the bridge is being built back. And that was a work of God. That was something I could not do, but God could do. I've seen and grown in my awareness of how when we pray, we're not just saying words, hopefully or wishfully, but we are actually opening a door for God to do things. Prayer is a partnership with Jesus that we're called to and that we're privileged to be able to access. And it's a learning journey. It's an opportunity for us to learn from our teacher. It's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do things he wants to do as we show up and we pray. As it says in Romans 8 that he helps us in our weakness. Doesn't matter where you're at, you start and you partner with Jesus and learn from him and know that it is his work that he's doing as you are a vessel. This is to be a place of prayer, a house of prayer. That's my desire for Jacob's Well. And I've seen such growth in prayer here that it's just thrilled my heart. And so my continual desire is that more and more people, that God will open their hearts to respond and be motivated and take steps in prayer.
You know, there's so much great about that story. One is, don't you want to pray like that? I mean, don't you want to experience that kind of thing where one of the favorite things she says is prayer opens up an opportunity for God to do things. And that's what this whole thing of renewal is all about, is this thing of being on a journey with him and aligning ourselves with him so that he can do things in our lives. But what keeps that from happening? Well, our coming to know and not having the courage to obey, to trust, to have that love relationship as the priority of our life. So out of that, whenever God comes and says, yeah, this thing, forgive this person, take a step with this person, stop doing that, start doing that, you know, don't say that, go to this person, whatever it is, the answer is yes. Not because I necessarily want to, not because I feel brave, but because I'm in relationship with you, Jesus. You know, here's one of the things it's hard to believe about God, but it's just true about God. God gives us absolutely everything he can. And his work in us is so that we can align ourselves with him in such a way that he can give us more of himself and the life and blessing that he wants us to fully, completely experience. The person who puts hindrances from God in my life is me. I mean, I'm the person who puts up the roadblocks. And so this is a time for renewal of the love relationship and maybe a point of obedience. And so I want to ask you about next steps, okay? We're in this renewal. If you haven't got the study guide, grab one on the way out, download it online. If you're part of the online community this morning or if you're in the theater, just grab one as you get out and download it and start. And just start, you know, at this week. This is the week that God really messed with you, because it's going to be asking you two big questions. Where are you on your journey and what's your next step? So let me just ask you, where are you on your journey and what's your next step? I mean, some of you are walking in here and says, I feel like he's picking on me. He's just talking to me, right? Holy Spirit's just messing with me. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Take it up with him, not my fault. So that's just how the Holy Spirit works. He speaks to hundreds and hundreds of people at one time. If there's any other reason to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, just that. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. But where are you on your journey? Some of you are at a point where you know a thing you're supposed to do, and you have been ignoring it, you've been mocking it, you've been pushing it off. But this whole time I've been speaking, say, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. And so your question is, are you going to obey? Now, even before you jump in and obey that thing, I mean, as quickly as you obey, it's just better for you. But maybe for you it looks like saying, I need to renew my love relationship with Jesus. I need to just go have a talk with Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I've done this, and I've let this, and I've made fun of it, but I just want to align myself with you. Maybe it's been a long time since you've had any serious interaction with the Word of God. You know, it's just not part of your life right now. That's a really dangerous place for you to live. You should fear and tremble that. Maybe prayer is just, every now and again, I throw one up on the way to work, but I gotta make some alignment. Where are you on your journey? And then what's your next step? Maybe for you, it's jumping in on renewal. Maybe for you, it's a point of obedience. Maybe for you, it's about renewing your love relationship with God. Maybe for you, it's just about getting a pad and paper or a journal or whatever, and then I'm in a coffee shop one morning and just starting writing it out. Maybe there's someone you need to go to. But that's the beautiful thing, is that God's working in you, that God is stirring in you. He loves you. Listen now. He loves you too much to leave you to your own devices. And so he will come in your life, and he will tear some things down so that he can rebuild something that you can lean on, that you can count on, that's real and strong. And so this is a call to obedience. I got a couple other things I just want to put on your radar, just because there's a lot going on. And these are all opportunities for you, if you've been out there drifting, to kind of get back on. We're getting our men's ministry fired up. One of the things we're doing is we're doing a wild game dinner, where it's just going to be a lot of fun. It's just going to be very cool. And guys, this would be something you could sign up for and hopefully reconnect with the guys. And we're going to get some men's groups going too. So wild game dinner, want to let you know about that. Want to also let you know about the Builders for Christ thing. So some of you have just, you know, you've been part of it in the past. To get back involved with that again would get you reconnected, and you know you need to get reconnected. We just got to get past some of the isolation that we've been doing. And then just hear something for families. Maybe God's speaking to you, you know, about, boy, my family, my kids, my priorities, and you're about to have a vacation, and people are going place on vacation, but you can't go anyplace. We've got a resource that you can get on our app and our website about how to make this time you're getting ready to have off. Spring breaks are starting to roll through, to make it actually something that is fun, engaging, not expensive, but just relationally and spiritually very powerful, very healing. So these are just a couple things I wanted to put on your radar this weekend. So again, church, this is a crucial moment for some of you, because some of you are at the point where you've been working the renewal thing and you now know, okay, this is the thing I'm supposed to work on in my next season. This is the thing I'm supposed to take a step in. And it would be really easy if you get busy and move on and make that no longer a point of obedience, and instead it ultimately becomes something that becomes a point of disobedience. Man, this is the time more than ever that renewing our love relationship with Jesus, man, that makes us brave and gives us the courage to do the things that will lead to life and health and peace. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the fact that he asked you to send the Holy Spirit, and you did. Holy Spirit, we again just ask you to come into our life. Jesus said you would teach us all things. You would show us about convict us. You'd speak to our hearts about sin, righteousness, and judgment. You would teach us all things. And so we would just ask that you would do the work. You'd renew our relationships with Christ, and you would just give us the courage from that relationship to do those things that we know we're supposed to do. Holy Spirit, just speak. Speak powerfully. And Father God, give us courage to do the things that will start hard, but eventually will lead to life and health and peace. Thank you for your transforming power. Thank you that you never give up on us and that you are working in ways that we can't even imagine. So we just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.